Central on AM 1080 and AM 1340. Stay tuned.
Good morning. A brighter day is here. Good morning. May we bring you cheer.
We've got time, we've got tunes, we've got time, tunes, and temperature.
Get up and go, it's today, you know, on KSCO Radio.
Okay, back in the saddle with a special KSCO special. Welcome, Monterey Bay, Silicon Valley, and Central California to AM 1080 KSCO. It's the Saturday special with MZ, and we're going to be doing something a little different today, something I think is going to be proved to be more interesting than usual, and we're going to do our best to keep you entertained and informed for the next 2 hours, so we hope you will stay with us.
Good morning. Now stay right here on KSCO Radio.
Hello, Americans. This is MZ with a story about two people from different backgrounds who have each positively influenced many people in many ways. One of them is very vocal, often controversial, and for years has advanced views contrary to conventional thinking. Yet this man regularly gets validated by new studies and published information. The other is a dignified older woman of great wisdom who quietly observes what's going on around her and writes direct, hard-hitting commentaries that bowl people over with her common sense. Two of the most respected and admired voices on KSCO will appear together for the first time this Saturday from 10 a.m. to 12 noon. How fitting that Kay's Whirling and Dr. Joel Wallach will be featured on a program known as the Saturday Special, and special it promises to be because the subject will not be about health and nutrition, but rather the state of our society and of our world. Don't miss this epic meeting this Saturday, 10 a.m. to 12 noon, right here on TuneIn for the rest of the story radio, AM 1080 KSCO.
I hope we're not building this up into something. Hope we're not building this up into something more than it should be here. But I think we're going to have a good time nonetheless for the next couple of hours. Let's welcome Doc Wallach to the Saturday special. You there, Doc?
I'm here, MZ. How you doing?
Hey, doing very well. Where in the world are you? Because you're in a different place just about every day.
That's true. Emanating today out of Detroit, Michigan, Motown, and been here for a couple of days. Tonight I'm going to be in Lansing, Michigan. Tomorrow I'm going to be in, I guess it's Mission, Kansas, across the river from Kansas City, Missouri.
And you have been putting on your health and nutritional lectures, my gosh, for what, 15, 20 years now?
Actually, longer than that, MZ. I've been doing it for 25 years, since 1978.
Wow, that's amazing. And, well, so you never get tired of being on the road, it sounds like, because you get this energy from letting people know what the score is as far as health and nutrition.
Well, I remember those old TV programs where they'd have reporters out on the road, the roving reporters, and they go out in the bus and stay out on the road and so forth. And
sure.
The beautiful thing about being on the road so much is that I really get a pulse of the country. And I've been to 35 countries in 25 years lecturing, and I get a pulse of the world. And so I've really been blessed with the ability to find out what really is happening, get to see the truth with boots on the ground, so to speak. And so it's kind of funny when you read newspaper stories, when you see things on television, you hear politicians say things. The reality is oftentimes different from what you read, hear, and see.
Right. Well, you do a daily radio program that is syndicated to about 100 radio stations around the country. It's called Dead Doctors Don't Lie. It originates at this station, and it's fed via satellite and internet to the other affiliates, but the subject of that is health and nutrition, and we're going to do something a little different today. We're going to show another side of you. You're much more than just a pretty face.
Thank you. That's the kindest thing anybody's ever said.
And so let me also introduce my mom, Kay Zwirling. People in KSEO country are quite familiar with Kay because over the years you have been treated, our audience has been treated to her commentaries on various subjects. Ma, I'd like you to do a regular commentary every day, and you won't do it.
No, not every day.
Because you, there's enough upstairs, you know, for you got something to say on just about everything, but I guess you're more comfortable doing it when something really gets you to sit down and write, I guess, huh?
Right.
Okay. Well, I guess you have, you've put together apparently a collage of some of your current thoughts and convictions to put in a little, two or three minute monologue here? Is that what we're talking about?
It might take a little more than 3 minutes, but you can stop me anytime you want.
Okay, great. Well, go for it.
Okay, so this, let's see now. I think our beloved country is very ill. The rules and the moral beliefs which we've lived by are crumbling, and many Americans hate America. To my knowledge, President Clinton was our first president who lied under oath. So, our young people are confused. Isn't it okay now for them to lie and cheat? On exams also? The budget deficits in California and other states are largely the result of irresponsible spending, but especially the enormous and inappropriate salaries and pensions which our leaders first take for themselves. Why do we have to supply them each with a car? And we learned here in California, each senator and congressman actually chooses the car and model he likes. They take the cream for themselves. Then they can't balance the budget, and we the people are taxed more and more, and the poor and the handicapped and physically and mentally ill are the first to have their programs cut or eliminated. Our U.S. Congress rejected being part of the Social Security system, so they devised their own generous, elaborate plan whereby they give themselves $14,000 every month. And even if they serve only one term, their monthly $14,000 continue as long as they live, and we the people pay for that too. My solution to stop this cavalier greed is for all politicians to serve only one term. The notion that experience is necessary, I believe, is nonsense. Experienced, entrenched politicians quickly become corrupt because power corrupts. One doesn't have to be a rocket scientist to make intelligent decisions. One only has to learn about the issues, study them, vote with integrity, and without being obsessed with the best way to get to serve a second term. Now, starting about 30 years ago, hiring policy at all United States public colleges and university have been percentage-wise. That is to say, 85% liberal professors are hired and 15% conservative professors. Our institutions of higher learning have become politicized. They're no longer places for the free exchange of ideas between professors and students. Young minds are being brainwashed. They're often indoctrinated, intimidated, and ridiculed if they dare to express anything different from the leftist viewpoint. Politically correct historians are revising history, selectively excluding offensive and disturbing world events like the Holocaust from history and school textbooks, thinking that information is too painful for young minds and too offensive. Oh, where do we go from here?
Are we getting pretty close here? Because I want this to be more of an informal type thing, Ma,
than
another editorial.
Okay.
I mean, bless you for all that, but I mean, this is...
Do you want me to finish fast, or shall I stop right there?
If it's
we'll talk.
Yeah, let's just. Why don't we just?
Let's just talk.
Yeah,
okay.
Let's just talk, Doc. What are your thoughts about? Is anything in there that you disagree with, or have some thoughts of your own? You think?
No, I think you know, Kay's right on. She's hit a bullseye here, and I do spend a lot of time lecturing at universities and so forth. And it's very, very sad that there really isn't a free transmission of information to students by the general public. The information students get is from their professors and other students. And it's very incestuous, very tight, liberal thinking that goes on in universities. And I have a lot of personal experience with the tight liberal thinking. They're always thinking inside the box. They're always thinking inside the bun, so to speak. And it's unfortunate that the thinking they do is lefty type of thinking. It's really a form of socialism to the extreme. It's all, and if we look at other countries who are doing what we do, we call it communism. In the United States, we call liberalism liberals, but in other countries, it's socialist and communist. And the fortunate thing is our Constitution prevents them from taking over by force of arms. And if they were to take over by force of arms, they sort of outnumber the conservatives who believe that the Constitution is sort of like the Bible of our government. And it's I think that's where the difference comes in. The liberals want to constantly modernize the Constitution and constantly change it to their own uses, to their own agendas, whereas conservatives tend to stick with the Constitution, the federal Constitution, in a way that makes it sacrosanct. It's actually should be untouchable, and everything should be, if we're to maintain our country as it was originally designed by the founding fathers, we should stick with it. And unfortunately, universities tend to nibble away at this and say, well, that doesn't fit the modern times, and we have to change this and change that. And I can foresee down the line, if we keep going the way we're doing, in God we trust will be taken off of our coins, it'll be taken off of our paper money, because the liberals will continue to nibble away at it.
I totally agree with what you're saying, Joel. We have some conservative students that come to the radio station now and then, and they can use the microphone, they have things to say, and they let us know that they're very intimidated in school, and they have to be careful.
Intimidated and humiliated by their professors publicly.
Right.
Well,
right.
What I want to do, Kay, what I want to do is you tell me who these students are and what classes they're in, and I'm going to take a week out, and I'm going to go sit in on those classes, and I will make sure their professors do not intimidate these students.
Well, if you sit in on the classes, I think the professors are going to be a little bit careful. But it's insidious because they take it out on their grades, and that's what's important to the kids. So,
well, we'll just start a fund to actually take legal action against such professors, won't we?
Hey, what a great idea. Yeah, you know,
You have to fight with the instruments of law that we have, available to us. And if professors are actually doing this, then there should be a fund to set them in their place. You have to keep things on the proper course. And even in nature, forces of nature are always working to bring things to zero. And this is why. I know it seems like a weird analogy, but for instance, you get liberals say, well, you can't manage the forest. You just need to leave it run amok and grow naturally. Well, you saw in the last couple of years what happens when you don't manage a forest. You get 50 and 100-year cycles where you have raging forest fires. And this is all totally preventable by management of the forest. The same thing with animal populations. I spent 2 years in Africa actually working on large management projects of elephant and rhino and zebra and large antelope. And you have to manage them. You have to keep the numbers down appropriate to the space and feed available, and so there should be hunting licenses, sex appropriate for culling or lowering populations of animals. And the same thing is true when it comes to the liberal view is constantly setting things up so that there will be problems.
That's
constantly
right.
Moving in such a direction where there will be problems. And if you look at it, the welfare state in the United States was actually bought with votes. And in California, it's the worst of the worst, where votes are actually bought by giving programs to people on welfare and people who are uneducated, instead of just saying, look, you're going to have to go to school. You're going to have to, and we'll give you maybe some loans. We'll give you student loans that you have to pay back. But you have to go to school. We're not just going to give you money. Back in the, you're probably old enough to remember WPA and CCC.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, yep. Yeah.
And there was no welfare back then during the 1920s and 30s. What we did was we paid people to do projects that benefited the greater good, building dams, roads, and bridges, and actually managing forests. And they sent their paychecks home to their families, and they got to go home 3 days out of every month. But they worked for it, and I think, go ahead.
And they also maintained their self-respect and their self-dignity.
Oh, absolutely, because they were working for the money. Yep, absolutely, yeah. And I think we should do this today. I think anybody receiving a check from the government after, say, 90 days should go to work. There's enough projects around this country. Our infrastructure is crumbling. Bridges are crumbling. Roads are crumbling. There's so many roads and highway medians and lots that are just loaded with trash. And people should be out there doing some work in exchange for their money.
To agree, I'm sure, that people who are needy and handicapped should always have help. But it's the professional hanger-oners that are still here. This all seemed to start around 30 years ago. And I remember my own husband, who was a practicing optometrist, was happy to take care of people who would come in and say, you know, things were bad, and so he would examine them and give them glasses and not charge them anything. And then social welfare was available for them, and I'm talking about able-bodied people. And the sad thing is that those able-bodied people are still on our main street. They've become dependent upon the government, and they want help all the time. And
well, here's the problem, Kay. Again, these people are allowed to vote, and I think as long as people are on welfare, they should not be allowed to vote.
Well, how about the illegal aliens who are about to vote?
What a concept.
Yeah, I think when people are on welfare, they should not be allowed to vote. Certainly illegal aliens shouldn't be allowed to vote. This is where the voter thing got us in trouble, where you just go get your driver's license, you're automatically registered to vote. Now, I'm a landowner, and the Constitution said, the original Constitution, you had to own a section of land before you're eligible to vote. I don't think it's still in there, but if it is, it's certainly not being practiced. But I have to physically go down and inconvenience myself to register to vote, which I do every year. But if you're illegal alien, you can go in and just get a driver's license, you're automatically registered to vote. And it's my understanding that the 500,000 votes that Gore won California by over George W. Were the 500,000 illegal aliens
exactly.
Who were bussed into the polls to vote.
That's
and this is the liberal methodology. I'm kind of a fan of Rush Limbaugh, and he pointed out that the conservatives never use the names of dead people and illegal aliens to vote, whereas the liberals always do, and they're the ones who always pull this off. And so we have
to
guard.
You mean like emotional blackmail or something? Is that what you're talking about?
Well, it's vote blackmail.
Yeah, well.
And what they do is they bus them in to vote, and this is one way that the liberals, they believe that, and I guess this is a Limbaugh thing too, that they lie no matter what the methodology is. They don't care as long as their purpose is achieved. They're willing to lie, cheat, and steal. Maybe even blackmail in some cases. I've seen that happen.
And justify the means.
Oh, wait. I have
exactly.
to interject something here. Now, our president, who is a Republican, is not behaving any better in terms of wanting to turn the other way and allow the borders to remain empty so that they're coming over. And It just seems like politicians are always interested in getting reelected, And Michael didn't let me finish what I wanted to say, but I wanted to talk about some of these things about being reelected. And President Bush, just like President Clinton, turned the other way about letting the people come through the border. So this is something that our country had better deal with because it's just going to bankrupt us.
Well, I think you've hit on a sensitive subject here, Kay, and I think now that there's a Republican governor soon to take office, I think you're going to see something different here. I really do. I've been kind of tracking Bush here and tracking Schwarzenegger. One of the advantages I have being on the road and I do the Dead Doctors Don't Lie program, I get to watch the CNN crawler all the time and see what's going on minute to minute, breaking news and so forth, and they track the politicians pretty good. And I think what you're going to see happening is the border is going to be closed.
I certainly hope you're right.
I believe so. You have to remember, Gray Davis was such a bad governor for the state of California. Even the Kennedys came down to support Arnold Schwarzenegger, who's a Republican, to get him in office. Gray Davis has been such an embarrassment to the liberals. Not only did he bankrupt the state of California, triple the energy and utility cost, tens of thousands of small businesses have shut down and left the state and just crossed the border into Nevada.
We can see that from here. You're absolutely right, and that brings us into another issue, and that is the rule of executive privilege for the president and the governors. And that rule is definitely being abused, especially when they're about to leave office, like Gray Davis is right now. So I think that privilege should be eliminated. What do you think about that, Joel?
Well, I think originally it was designed to have governors and presidents be able to do the right thing without party politics when they were leaving office. And again, it's been changed
to party politics.
Yeah, to party politics and favoritism and,
exactly.
and maybe lining the nest for their future when they get out and so forth, being able to write books and get big jobs, cushy jobs and stuff like that.
Right, and Gray Davis is doing that right now, and he's putting in judges that are, very far liberal. And so when what's his name? Our new governor. See, I'm having a senior moment.
Schwarzenegger.
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
When Arnold comes into office and he asked Gray Davis to stop making these appointments, Gray Davis reminded him that who was the governor before that? Wilson. Pete Wilson did exactly the same thing. So this is a bad privilege to have.
Yeah. Listen, I need to tell our audience that they're listening to the KSCO Saturday Special with Kay Zwirling and Dr. Joel Wallach. You're talking politics, not health and nutrition. If health and nutrition creep into the conversation, it will be only in terms of a political discussion today on this special edition of the KSCO Saturday Special. It's 29 minutes past 10 a.m. MZ here, your host, and you are invited to give us a call. I see Angie Ogle was on the phone here. She for some reason is no longer there. Hope she will call back. We'd like to hear from her. Brilliant person. Ben and Salinas is on. He's angry. Okay, let's get Ben on here. Hey Ben, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Now you're not going to be so angry that you're.
No, I will be respectful.
Okay, good.
First of all, I want to congratulate your mother on the air for that wonderful editorial she's got on now. It exactly concurs with Dave Allen and myself on the air in 97 saying what was going on with the Codex Alimentarius, where they want to make vitamins and nutrients a prescription-only item. This is a bad idea out of Bonn, Germany that goes way back. So Kay is right on target. And thank you, wonderful lady.
That editorial will be played at the top of the next hour here, about 6 minutes after 11, by the way.
And you should strive to emulate more of your mother's wisdom. However, you do a very good job at the station.
Okay,
now
go
on to Dr. Wallach, sir. And I have called you on the air with family medical situations.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, I'll start from the back to the forward. Schwarzenegger is going to do to California what Bush is doing to America, and we're going to wind up $600 billion American in the red ink of paying for Iraq, while people here would, who you want to put into these programs, which the WPA, which is a wonderful idea, sir. I hope it plays out because it will help many Americans who are now in food lines, unemployment, and their mothers are without access to medicines to keep them alive at an exorbitant cost. But you made something that thoroughly knocked me through the wall, sir. People on welfare shouldn't be allowed to vote. In other words, only white men of property should be able to vote. Isn't that what stood, kept slavery in place? And if the people who are on welfare, now being welfare, as far as I know, is not a felony or a crime, how in the heck, sir, and I mean this respectfully, are they ever going to affect their future if they cannot use their constitutional right to vote and put people in office who will put programs that benefit the greater good, the 80%, without the endowments and the trust funds and grandma and grandpa and mommy and daddy paying their bills? Young married couples, how are they ever going to get to the point of sustaining themselves in today's rather strange economy, jobs having gone to China and abroad and being sent over, and pharmaceuticals being regulated by the FDA, and the buddy scratching the buddy so the billionaire for lunch bunch out of Texas puts everything in their pocket? How are the welfare people on welfare? That's not a crime, sir. That's what a country does for those at the, who fall at the bottom, whose sons and fathers may have been killed in Iraq.
And I'm happy you called in, but let Doc answer.
Oh, I'm sorry, sir. It is okay. A long question. But I find it ludicrous that people... Yes, sir.
Doc, we missed you. Cut out for some reason.
I do have good lungs, sir, but I'll shut up, and I'm listening to your answer.
Okay, those are legitimate concerns and questions you have. And first of all, I'll start by answering your question about the deficit we have. The federal deficit is building up. If Clinton, in the two terms that he was in office, would have done the right thing when it came to terrorists around the world, then we wouldn't be having the deficit we had today. I spent almost 20 years in the military, and as Lieutenant Colonel in the Air Force, I can tell you that when it came to the military and foreign policy dealing with terrorists and enemies of the United States, Clinton has been the worst president in the world. Well, he was having oral sex. He should have been dealing with Osama bin Laden and the Taliban, and he should have been dealing with people like Hussein and the other countries in the world, such as Iran and Syria, and the Palestinian Hamas and Al Jazeera and this TV thing, and all of these individuals. As long as they were just blowing up pizza parlors in other countries, we didn't take a whole lot of action. Even when they blew up the USS Cole, we didn't take any action. Even when they blew up two embassies in East Africa, we took little or no action. You know, he sent a couple of Tomahawk missiles over blindly into the desert, and he did nothing. He sat on his hands, and he allowed these terrorists to gain strength amongst their enemies. Our enemies, they were able to take on allies saying, we can just whack away at the Americans and nothing happens. They're just a bunch of wimps, wusses, and weenies. And the fact that the terrorists attacked the World Trade Center and the Pentagon in 9/11 was a direct result of Clintonism not doing a single thing when we were dealt blows around the world by the terrorists. Now, if Teddy Roosevelt was in power when the Taliban and Osama bin Laden were blowing up our embassies in East Africa and putting holes in the USS Cole, guess what? We'd have had armies over there immediately wiping them out. And the fact that we didn't react and do the appropriate thing and let people know we're not going to tolerate being injured and damaged, they got the wrong message. They got the message they could do anything they want to us, and we're like deer in the headlights. We're just so wimpish and such whiny liberals that we're not going to do anything. And so the attacks on the World Trade Center, I lay directly at the feet of Clinton and all the whiny liberals who didn't want to do anything. Okay? Now, wait a minute. Let me finish. Now, I was quiet when you were talking. Okay. And when it comes to not voting when one is on welfare, you have to appreciate that in a lot of towns, welfare recipients outnumber small business owners. For instance, in each block in California, in each housing block in California, there might be as many as 1,000 times more people on welfare than there are ranchers in Montana and Colorado and Wyoming who own 100,000 acres. They have 50 employee cowboys and so forth. And so this guy out there who's running a ranch and who's concerned about feed for his cattle, he's worried about having to pay benefits to his employees and this sort of thing. And whatever he wants to do, although he's generating an enormous amount of food and payroll for the country, you have 1,000 people on welfare in a square block in New York, and essentially their votes bury these hardworking people who support the economy. You get into small towns in California. How many tens of thousands of small businesses went out of business because of activity of the liberals in California? And of course, the money was funneling to welfare recipients, and people who own small businesses had to shut them down and go to Nevada. I mean, if you don't think that's true, you're living in La La Land. And why do you think there's so much favor given to the illegal aliens? Liberals have the misspent ideas that if we're nice to the illegal aliens, we'll get the Hispanic vote.
And they do get the Hispanic vote.
And who's doing the work?
Guess what?
And washing the dishes.
Well, wait a minute.
Okay.
This is also a problem. This is also a problem of the liberals, because as soon as, for instance, and this is coming into my favorite subject here, by the way, so I thank you for guiding us in this direction. When you have, for instance, unions, which tend to be very liberal organizations, when they demand more from the company they're working for than the company can afford to pay, the companies have to shut down. Right now, I'm in the state of Michigan. 13 years ago, in the western half of Michigan, from Lansing west, and Lansing sort of in the south central part of the state, the Kroger employees went on strike because they wanted health benefits, and Kroger just shut down. That was 13 years ago, and shut all their stores in western Michigan and have never come back. And literally thousands of people have lost their jobs because they insisted that the companies be Big Daddy and pay for all of their benefits. Okay. Well, the same thing now is happening in California, where the employees are on strike. 70,000 grocery workers for Vaughn's, for Ralph's and Albertson's, because the employees are demanding that the 17% increase in health benefits be paid for fully by the companies they work for, and the companies can't afford it. So,
hello? Yeah, I don't know what happened to Doc. Maybe he dropped off.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's not your fault, Ben. No. I don't know.
Well, there, Doc? I'm here. I'm just listening.
Back it off and just let other people call. But I just put my 2 cents in.
Thank you,
well,
Ben.
Appreciate that.
Good
Thank
day,
you.
Sir.
There goes Ben and Salinas. It's the Saturday special, 21:11 a.m. We've got Doc Wallach and Kay's Whirling along with MZ here on the Saturday special. Like to hear from you. We got 479-1080 jammed with phone lines, phone callers, but 477-1340 is totally available. So if you want to call us, call on that line, 477-1340. Let's go to line two. I think that's Jim in, is it Jim? Jim, I don't know where you are. Jim, you're on the air.
Monterey.
Okay. It says here you're going to talk about Dianne Feinstein's 722. Well, bear in mind that some people might not have heard Kay's editorial, and that will be played at the top of the hour here, but go ahead and what are your thoughts?
I just wanted to suggest that in addition to calling Dianne Feinstein's office, people who are concerned about 722 might want to call the Capitol Comments line and leave a message for the president. And I do have the telephone number if you'd like that.
Please.
Okay, it's 1-202-456-1111. And then I wanted to ask Dr. Wallach what his views are on the Dutch model of euthanasia and also the Oregon law regarding euthanasia.
Mm-hmm.
And okay. I'll hang up and listen to that. I'm in the process of writing a paper on euthanasia, so I was interested in Dr. Wallach's views on the matter.
Great. Okay, sure.
Thank you.
Well, thank you.
Hey, appreciate that. Well, first of all, SB 722, Senate Bill 722, is a continuation of something that, again, liberals started back in the 1950s. Liberals are kind of interesting. Once the people voice their opinion and their vote and things go a certain way, the liberals kind of never give up. They just keep kind of bringing it up. Even if there's a constitutional amendment, they always are kind of wanting to change it. You can always tell who a liberal is, because when there's supposed to be equal time for talking, the liberals never shut up. They just keep talking over the conservative side. They never get their time.
You
so got to
admire
you.
Their tenaciousness, don't you think?
It's well, I don't admire it. I think they're very rude.
They get what they want because they keep hammering away.
Well, they don't get what they want. Kenny.
They've just about taken over our country.
Well,
Joe,
you and I aren't going to let them
and
do
we,
that.
And we were asleep at the wheel.
Well, we weren't asleep at the wheel.
Yeah,
There's more people on welfare than there are people who own
businesses. No, I'm not talking about welfare. Where were we when the people who were doing the hiring in the universities hired 85% liberal professors and 15% the token conservatives? Where were we then? And so now, in 30 years, they're in charge.
This all started during the 60s, I guess. And so now these people who are sitting in on universities have now moved in and are the employees in the universities.
And what about... Go ahead.
Let me finish on this SB 722, because I think it's a very important thing. This is not a new concept we have to be concerned about. This goes back to the 1950s. The National Health Federation, the consumer support group, was actually formed. I think it was 1958, when at that time there was a big move supported by the pharmaceutical industry to get the vitamins and minerals to be a prescription item. This was back in 1958, and it came that close. It was like within just a couple of votes of happening, and the National Health Federation became a consumer advocate group to actually lobby senators and congressmen, representatives, to the point where they were knee-deep in faxes. There wasn't emails back in those days, so just faxes. And we would actually fax. I was in on that. We would actually fax hundreds of faxes to each senator and each representative, to the president, to local people, everybody you could. The ones who are in favor of the bad bills and the ones who are against it, just to let them know that, hey, there's a lot of people out here that don't like that. And that kind of went quiet for maybe 7 or 8 years, came up again, and came up again every 10 years or so. And this SB 722 is nothing new. It's just a continuation. But it's more than just a liberal thing. This is a attempt by the pharmaceutical industry to actually control the vitamin and mineral industry. And back when it was a very tiny baby business, they sort of laughed at it and didn't think much of it. And so they didn't put out a whole lot of effort to take it over or kill it. Well, now it's a $50 billion a year industry, and it's too big for them to politically control. And so as long as we don't sleep at the wheel, as you say, Kay, and we're just constantly letting representatives and congressmen know and senators know that we're not interested in having to go to a doctor to get a prescription for vitamin C, we're going to be okay. We're going to be in good shape, because these industries are big enough now, they're not going to let it happen. And the pharmaceutical industry knew that, and so what they started doing was actually buying. They actually started buying nutritional companies. And I give you a big example. Have you ever heard of GNC stores?
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, well, they were bought about 10 years ago by a big pharmaceutical conglomerate for $2.5 billion, one of the biggest health food natural supplement sales ever, $2.5 billion. And over the 10 years, they have failed miserably, because they really don't understand. Pharmaceutical people don't understand the nutrient business. And now they've actually sold it for $750 million.
What about euthanasia?
Do you get the difference there? Wait a minute. I'll get to that. But do you get the difference between $2.5 billion? Now they're selling it for $750 million, which is about a third or a fourth of what they paid for it.
Yeah,
and the reason why they were willing to do that, they bought the GNC because they felt if they could buy up the biggest nutrient retail sales company in the United States, that they could control the votes. And that's why they did that. And it was worth it to them to spend $2.5 billion to get the votes to try and take this over. But they have failed so miserably. This also happened when Rexall, this large pharmacy chain, bought several big nutritional companies. And they sold them for like 10% of what they bought them for because they thought they were going to run the industry in the way that they did the pharmaceutical industry. Well, it doesn't work that way. And so they have had their tail singed here by trying to take over by acquisition. And so I think they're going to back off for a while. But we do need to stay alert and make sure that everybody lets their representative and their senators know that we don't want to have to go to a doctor to get a prescription for a vitamin and mineral. We don't have an inherent right. There's nothing in the Constitution that says we have a right to free medical care. But there is something in our Constitution and the Bill of Rights that say we have the right to happiness.
Okay. Ma, it seems to me like you and Doc are on the same wavelength here, but you are shaking your head. Why are you shaking your head?
Because I think we have to get off the subject of nutrition and get on to all these other things that are wrong with our country that we should do
maybe
something
about. Maybe it was my error for putting Jim on with talking about that.
I think if Dr. Wallach would answer the question about euthanasia, we can move
on. Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, the euthanasia, I think... this is part of the pursuit of happiness concept, I think. You know, in the old days when everybody had a gun, if you wanted to commit suicide for any reason, for health reasons or financial reasons, you could go out in the back barn lot and shoot yourself in the head and it was all over. It wasn't a big political deal. And as soon as we started disarming people, they don't have that ability to do that. And most people, you know, don't know that they can go sit in the back of their car and take a garden hose and run the exhaust of their car into their car and commit suicide very painlessly. And so it really shouldn't be this big political debate. If everybody just uses some common sense, if it makes them happy to commit suicide, let them do it. It's the pursuit of happiness. And it shouldn't be something that the government dabbles in. If people have pain that's not responsive to medication and they feel that there's no hope for the future and they want to do themselves in, there's 1,000 different ways to do it. They don't need a Dr. Kevorkian. They don't need medical doctors to be licensed to kill them. That goes against every rule that doctors should practice by.
Well, then I presume that you believe then, Doc, that attempted suicide should not be a capital crime punishable by the death penalty.
I think you're over... Yes.
No, that's very good, Michael.
Well, that's a funny place to put humor in, but...
Yeah.
But
we
actually,
have to break it up a little bit. Now, Ma,
that's
what
right.
You, okay.
No, but wait a minute. But wait, but
we
the
have
Joe,
to get
wait
to
a
poor
minute.
Tom, who wants to take issue with both of you.
Oh,
there's
okay.
Tom on the radio,
okay.
On the telephone.
But about the euthanasia, I think that what this gentleman who called is talking about are people who are so ill that they can't do anything for themselves, and something has to be done for them if that is their wish. And the law says that that can't happen in places like our country.
Yeah, okay.
Well, there was just this one in Florida, I think it was, where this gal had been in a coma for 10, 12 years, whatever it is.
Yes.
And finally her husband was able to get a court to rule that they could unplug her thing, and she's brain dead. And it's, you know, it's one of those things where there's nothing that medical science can do. She's brain dead. And
her parents don't believe that.
He and his wife had a pact that if any one of them ever got to this point, that they wouldn't just keep them alive in such a situation. And here's where the husband was legally appointed as the guardian of this individual, and he went to court, and as the guardian, the court-appointed guardian, his wishes were to unplug the tube, and they did. And the parents fought that, and they got two rejections by the various courts in the state of Florida. And so they pulled the tube, and the next couple of days, this woman will in fact die.
Yeah.
And those are extreme cases, but when somebody who is physically able, even in a wheelchair, I don't think that people today are really disabled. When they're in a wheelchair, they're not really disabled anymore. With computers, they're 7 foot tall. They're as good as a basketball player and a football player with computers. Even if they can't use their arms, as long as they can blink their eyes, there's computers that'll work for them. And they have all these electronic machinery that does wonderful things. And they can make a pretty good living just using the computers. And it's just a matter of educating them so that they can do that. And we have a lot of people in our business who are in wheelchairs and who have all kinds of disabilities who make a very good living because they're computer literate and are able to function. But if somebody wants to commit suicide and they're physically able, it shouldn't be a crime. This is part of this pursuit of happiness. And if I were sitting as a judge, I'd be a conservative judge on this issue, and I would say, hey, if this guy or gal wants to commit suicide because they're in pain and they don't believe there's any hope and they just don't want to live this way, why put them in jail to protect themselves? Let them commit suicide.
Okay, let's go to caller Tom. Tom, you're on the, I don't know where you're calling from, but you're on KSCO. Go ahead.
Hi, Doc. And
yeah.
Hi, Tom.
Hey, I've heard both of you a bunch. I live in Santa Cruz. I'm over in Palo Alto at the moment. But I agree with more than half of what you both stand for, but you both make adamant blanket statements that undermine your integrity.
Like what?
Like all liberals aren't idiots.
No.
You know, and let's see, what's
well,
the other
one? I don't think I said that.
I didn't say that either.
That's
most of them.
The idea I get when I get...
Ma, that wasn't a nice thing to say.
I mean, I'm not a liberal, but and I agree with most of what you say, but when you say things like, only property owners should get the vote, or that big business should run, or business entrepreneurs should have more say than workers. It takes the workers to make those businesses work, and if you didn't have any regulation, I think the workers would all be working like they are in Southeast Asia for 17 cents an hour if you let big business have its way. And I'm a self-employed businessman, but you got to regulate some of this stuff, protect all those workers, and not all of them want to be self-employed, and you need those regular people to keep things rolling, and you need some liberals to balance out the conservatives.
You're right, of course, and anything in extreme is no good.
Well, you guys are both pretty extreme, so think about the statement you make before you make unfounded ones.
What did I say?
Well, you said most of them are not very... Most of them are idiots. Were you kidding?
Well, I think Tom has a good...
I'm talking about the ones that we're surrounded with right here.
Santa Cruz is too progressive for me, and I've lived there for 40 years.
Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't call liberalism progressive.
Well, anyway.
Yeah, but I do want to answer your question about who should get to vote and so forth. And I think you're exactly right. I didn't say that working people shouldn't vote. I think working people should have the vote, and they do. And so that's not a question. People who own businesses and people who are citizens of the United States should be able to vote, and they do. We go to great extremes to make sure that people have the opportunity to vote. There's polling places every couple of blocks, and if you can't get there because you're a physical invalid, they'll pick you up and bring you in to vote, and so that's not a problem. What I'm saying is that small business owners like yourself, entrepreneurs, working people, are outnumbered in many communities by people who are on welfare. And so
you're
what
talking
happens
about
is
deadbeats who are on welfare. You're not talking about people on welfare who are sick and handicapped and will always have to be on welfare. I hope that we can agree that we always have to help them.
Well, Kay,
you're talking about deadbeats, right?
Well, let me answer, Kay. Historically, welfare was taken care of by churches and community organizations, not the government. And I'm not a Catholic, but I love old Catholic priests because when a guy was beating his wife, there was no legal schmeagle stuff going on. The Catholic priest picked up his frock, marched down to this house, and beat the stuffing out of the guy who's beating his wife. He said, "How'd that
feel?" I love it.
Yeah. And he said, "How'd that feel, Roy?" He says, "Next time I hear of you beating your wife, I'm going to come down here and do this again. If you beat your kids, I'm going to come down here and do this again." You know, old Roy changed his ways. And if there was some little family that was out of work and they were starving, the church, regardless of the church, went down there and they brought them food. And all the ladies of the church would bake bread and they'd help the lady of the household do her wash. And if the husband couldn't work, all the other fellows would milk the cows. Yeah. And the communities did things.
Yeah, but we're living in a different world
This is where we got into trouble because people in the government, liberals in the government, began to buy votes by saying, "Look, we're going to let the government do these things for you if you vote for me.
And we have
we're going to give you free medical care, free drugs." Yeah.
Continue on with the free services, but anybody that's on them can get on a work crew and go out and work.
Which is what doctors
get. As soon as that happens, they say, "Wait, okay, I can get a better job and get paid more," and they're off welfare.
Tom, thanks for your call to the Saturday special. Noah, it's 4 minutes to the top of the hour. Can we do a commercial break here? Do you want to put it on next hour? Now? Okay, kill the promos, please. Hopefully we can do this. It's a Saturday special on AM 1080 KSCO with MZ and KZ and Dr. JW here. There's a lot more ahead. Stay with us.
Hey, Michael O'Swirling. I wanted to let you know about a great event you should attend this Sunday from 1 to 5 p.m. at the Los Loreles Lodge in Carmel Valley.
Thank you, Jose, but I can't even think about taking the time.
Oh, Michael O'Swirling is for a great cause.
Jose, now you know I'm a very busy and impotent man, and I can't afford to put any more of my valuable time into any more great causes.
Michael, it's all-you-can-eat buffet featuring all kinds of food and wild game, including venison and abalone. And that's to the benefit of the wild steelhead of the Carmel River.
Food? Did you say wild game? Well, I'm just going to have to cancel my other plans because I've done this before and it's great. In fact, you should go too, Hose. It's time well spent even for busy and impotent men like us.
Don't miss MZ's favorite eating event of the year, the Wild Game Barbecue, this Sunday from 1 to 5 p.m. at Los Loreles Lodge in Carmel Valley. For tickets and more information, call Brad at 659-1500. That's 659-1500.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick. I want to tell you why I stand behind Dr. Wallach's American Longevity products. Strength, purity, quality without compromise. Every bottle of American Longevity Majestic Earth Minerals contains 19,000 milligrams of all plant-derived colloidal minerals taken from only one source, leached out with only pure water. Give your body what it needs, and you'll be amazed at how good you can feel. Now about me. I'm a full-time homeschooling mother of four, and even in these uncertain financial times, I pay the mortgage in one of the most expensive places to live in the U.S. How? My American Longevity home business, the most flexible, profitable, and enjoyable work I've ever done. I'd really love to talk to you. So if you're in the San Lorenzo Valley, call me. I'm at 831-335-3216. That's 335-3216. Talk to you soon.
Okay, we're back. It's a minute before 11 a.m. on the Saturday special with Doc Wallach, Kay Swirling, and MZ here. Let's take a quick call from Rod on line one. Rod, you're on the air on KSCO. Hey, Rod, are you there? Wait a minute. Excuse me here. I didn't hit the button here. Rod, are you there?
Yeah, can you guys hear me?
Yeah, now we can hear you. Sorry, go ahead. We've got the news in about 45 seconds, so we'll hold you over if you want.
Oh, yeah, if it's up to you.
Okay, go ahead.
But while I've been taking notes here while I've been listening to you guys, and my thought is that while liberals and conservatives squabble over the direction of our country, Kate touched on what I believe is the even larger problem. And that is our politicians essentially doing whatever it takes to get reelected.
That's the most important thing in their
it
in their
is
world.
The most important
yeah,
thing.
Nothing else.
I'm a reformer, constantly with the lantern, looking in the night for another reformer. And I wish that we could get that liberals and conservatives would both.
We will hold you over if you want us to, but we got to go for the news right here on AM 1080 KSCO Santa Cruz.
Can I just finish my thought when you when I come back?
We'll do. USA Radio Network News.
The following is a KSCO editorial. Here is Kay Zwirling.
Your right to choose supplements is under attack. Senate Bill 722 will be voted upon shortly. If it passes, this bill will threaten the freedom of choice for every citizen of our country. This issue was discussed on a recent KSCO Saturday special, but because of its seriousness and urgency, we feel this information must be exposed to as many people as possible, and our signal can be heard over one-third of California. Clearly, the pharmaceutical industry is feeling the impact of people making decisions about their own health. More and more of us are choosing nutraceuticals, that is, natural vitamins, minerals, and herbs, for healing and health maintenance in lieu of prescription drugs, which are often toxic and often very expensive. And often the negative side effects of the drug are worse than enduring the ailment. Since the 1920s, the pharmaceutical companies gradually became very powerful and very rich. Surely they are the architects of SB 722, which, if it passes, will significantly undermine health freedoms we now take for granted. This oppressive and sinister bill states that manufacturers of health products would have to submit to the Food and Drug Administration reports of any adverse reactions of any product. Furthermore, if even one consumer called and said, for example, that vitamin B complex gave him a stomach ache, the FDA could ban the sale of all B vitamins. Even worse, it would not be possible to check the validity of these voluntary complaints. Further, if even one product is singled out for even one complaint, the FDA might have the power to remove entire classes of supplements from the market. Pretty scary and pretty outrageous, right? Putting it bluntly, it looks like the pharmaceutical industry wants to crush the nutraceutical industry, render it impotent, then move in and take it on for themselves. Isn't it ironic that the toxicity in some prescription drugs take the lives of over 100,000 Americans every year, but seldom are those drugs removed from the marketplace despite their known danger to health? After their initial testing and approval to market their products, there is almost zero accountability from the pharmaceutical companies. Are you beginning to smell some political hanky-panky and some expensive involvement from lobbyists? If SB 722 passes, products which have been used safely for many decades would now be scrutinized and made subject to arbitrary discretion of the FDA. Suppose you take a nutritional supplement, say glucosamine, because it helps you maintain bone and joint health. Perhaps certain plant nutrients help you maintain a reasonable cholesterol level, which you would choose instead of the drug Lipitor, known to create serious side effects, but it makes millions for the pharmacy companies, and it still remains on the market. If Senate Bill 722 is passed, the nutrients you depend upon may be taken away from you. Now, here is the kicker. Contact our Senator Dianne Feinstein. She is the co-sponsor of this onerous political bill, which, if passed, might lead to further legislation requiring you to obtain a doctor's prescription for any dietary supplement. Why is she doing this to us? Can it be that she has a vested interest in a pharmaceutical company and is possibly leaving the Senate and has nothing to lose? Nevertheless, register your outrage. Call Capitol Hill Switchboard at 202-224-3121. Again, that is 202-224-3121. 202-224-3121. Ask to speak to Senator Feinstein's office, then ask to speak to a staff member in charge of health issues. Or access the internet, visit www.congress.org, enter your zip code, and proceed from there. We are asking our own senator to vote against a bill which she has co-sponsored. Dianne Feinstein was elected senator to work for the good of all Californians. Instead, she chose to go with special interests and betray the rest of us. Is this grotesque or what? For KSCO and KOMY, this is Kay Swirling.
We now take you back to the Saturday special on KSCO Santa Cruz and KOMY Watsonville. Stay tuned.
Oh, hello, darling. I hate to hang up on you, but... I'm sorry, baby, but I have to go. It's time for that wonderful record show. I'd love to visit, but you'll have to call back. KSCO has the inside track.
And here we are, ladies and gentlemen, entering hour number two of the KSCO Saturday Special featuring Kay Swirling and Dr. Joel Wallach and you, the callers. We're going to be on the air right up until noontime. We hope you will be with us and join us.
I'm sorry, baby, but I really got to go to KSCO Radio. Bye.
And we're talking health, not talking health, just the opposite. We're talking politics, not health and nutrition today on the Saturday special. And if you want to join us, the phone number to use is 477-1340. The 479 lines are... booked solid. Right before the break, Rod was making a point here, and we told him we would hold him over. You're back on the air, Rod.
Yeah, thanks a lot. And like I said, Kay touched on it earlier that politicians essentially are only looking to get reelected. They're not looking to do the best things necessary for our country. And in my opinion, the evidence for that, the circumstantial evidence for that, is a runaway Pentagon budget and a runaway $6 trillion national debt. And in my opinion, the reason for that is conservatives like military spending programs and liberals like social spending programs. I would suggest, and it's just my wish, that conservative leaders and liberal leaders would take the time to put their petty differences aside and reform our political system so it can move forward responsibly. Because I'll tell you, what's going on now is just nuts. This is nuts.
What do you think about Kay's idea about term limits to one term limit period under any certain, no other way?
I guess, you know, the biggest problem that I see is the political parties essentially having access to the system because they're just going to promote the ideas of their particular doctrines, and I still see the squabbling between the political parties and still trying to get, even if it's just for one term, still trying to get reelected on those issues that'll get them elected or get them elected in general.
They can't be reelected if they're only going to be serving one term, and if they serve one term, they will do, I think, that they will do the best that they can, and that they won't look at issues in a political way.
Right.
They'll try to do the right thing.
Right.
I've been bringing this up for a long time, and I'm really sorry that a lot of people think that it's impossible.
Well, you know something? It's not a bad idea, and I would support it. If I saw it on the ballot or if our politicians pursued that, I would support it.
Well, they won't pursue it. You can be sure
right.
of that.
Right, yeah, we would have to
only
do
the
that.
People that would have,
yeah, it would
to,
have to be an
make
initiative.
It a law.
Too bad. Yep. I don't think there's such thing as a national initiative. Am I right? Who knows about that?
I wouldn't know. Well, mm-hmm. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet. Doc, are you still there?
Yeah.
Okay, good. All right. Next caller will be Pat, I believe in Santa Cruz on immigration and forest management. Pat, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi, you guys. I like what the last guy said.
I'd like to touch on three things really briefly, and you can make a whole show out of forest management easily, but the idea that the forests have to be logged in order to prevent catastrophic wildfires is kind of a self-serving observation. And again, I know what the response is going to be to my comment, and I don't want to go into it any further. A whole show it would take to do this.
I agree with what you just said, Pat.
But nevertheless, I must say that the forests survive for over 100 million years without humans saving them. Okay, can I just leave it at that? And as far as the immigration is concerned, I'm totally in accord with you. I've been going out to the local peace demonstration not every week, but most of them since before the war was even declared. And I had a sign at first that said, impeach the Enron chicken hawks, because that's how I feel about them. But lately I've been carrying a sign that says, troops on our borders, not Iraq's. And that doesn't go over too well with the a lot of the anti-war demonstrators. But I'll tell you, the motorists respond very favorably to that sign. I see people just kind of snooze and, oh, not another anti-war demo. And then they see that sign, they perk up. There is a huge silent sentiment to deal with our outrageous immigration situation. And now both major political parties, as well as a lot of the smaller ones like the Greens, are playing politics, and they're sucking up to the immigrants. And I don't mean disrespect to immigrants. I interact with them on an almost daily basis, and I feel no animosity. But we just absolutely have to stop playing politics and deal with the immigration problem, and that's exactly what it is. It's not going to get any better. It's only going to get worse the longer we postpone it.
You're right, Pat.
And one last thing I'd like to say is that I'd like to ask you how you would deal with somebody, for example, that, because this seems like it would be a dilemma for a lot of people, not for me, but let's say that a woman, and I'm not singling out women, but women are the ones that have babies. So a woman and all the fathers or the single father, but let's say a woman keeps having kids and she can't support them, what do you do? Because obviously you can't just say we're going to let the kids starve to death, but she just says she's going to keep having them. So how do you handle that?
Well, don't you think it's our system actually encourages to have them and to have more, because the more babies are born, the more the person on welfare gets.
Well, that's my
point. That's ridiculous.
But if you cut them off welfare, the kids suffer. You can't make the kids suffer.
You can't do that.
No. So how do you handle it?
Yeah, but
I'd like a specific answer, because that's a very specific problem.
Let me chime in here, if I may, give you my opinion. First of all, I want to make a comment on your concerns about the forest. And I agree with you. You don't have to heavily log forest management, but you do have to deal with the undergrowth and the brush and so forth. I own 168 acres, and some of those wildfires came within 3 miles of my house. And we were out there cutting brush, and we were out there wetting down roofs. And so you can manage things. I agree with you. The forest has been there for 100 million years, and it'll be 100 million years after we're gone. In the great scheme of things, a fire cycle of 50 years or 100 years in the great scheme of the forest is not a big thing. But for the use of people going to national parks and state parks during our puny little lifetimes of 100 years old, 75 to 100 years old, it is important. Not that in the forever and forever life of a forest. So we do need to manage it.
I try to avoid touching on something which I feel is core, because I know that MZ kind of doesn't like me to do it very much, but there's just too damn many people. That's what we're talking about with regards to the necessity to manage forests, which obviously have managed themselves just fine for well over 100 million years. But I would like to know, how do you deal with somebody that just keeps having kids, can't support them? We can't let the kids starve, but how do you deal with that?
Pat, well, excuse me, can I say something? I know I've listened to Pat for many years, and I know that population growth is his big issue.
So why don't you tell us what your answer would be to something like this?
Mandatory sterilization.
You're concerned so much about population.
I was going to say
What do you say? What?
He said it, Mom. Mandatory sterilization.
How do you decide who's going to be sterilized?
Well, if somebody's having kids that they can't support, there's a clue. I mean, why should we have to support them? And, I mean, even if they're institutionally supported, they're still not going to have a quality of life.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think, Doc?
Pretty scary.
Well, again, my wife is Chinese.
Don't deal with.
Yeah, when we go to China, they actually have little grandmothers sitting on the corners of every block. And legally, there's a law in China where you can only have one child. Yeah. And so they pick grandmothers to sit in a little rocking chair in the corner of every block, every corner, all four corners. And when they see a pregnant woman, if she has a little toddler beside her and she's pregnant, she notifies the law and so forth, and they actually will arrest her to get an abortion because they're limited to one kid. Out in the boonies, way out in the hinterlands of China, where they don't have city blocks, they're just farm after farm after farm, the farm people have 8 or 10 or 12 kids because they're cheap labor, and so nobody controls them. And so you'd have the same sort of disproportionate rules, not rules, but actual de facto rules, because out in the boonies where there's nobody out there to watch them, they're going to have a lot of kids. And in the cities where people can watch them, they'll be forcing mandatory sterilization. So another way to do that is to, this is a form of cruelty to children. This is a form of abuse to children when you can't feed them, clothe them, and educate them. And what should happen here is the woman should have the children actually taken away and put into either state institutions like orphanages or schools, state schools. And again, this was done at one time. They were sort of church functions that ran orphanages and so forth, and then it became community things. But I think that this would be the way to go, is to actually take the kids, clothe them, teach them how to brush their teeth and scrub their ears, educate them, school them, and the ones who are doing really well academically, give them scholarships to universities, and you know, treat them very, very well.
Doesn't sound too unreasonable to me. What do you think, Pat?
What you're doing, I know, but that's all somebody else has to pay for all that. And even so, it's an institutional life, which is not going to really be, I mean, the quality of the child's life is going to be compromised when even...
Well, I don't know about that. You know, rich people send their kids to boarding schools, which is an institutionalized life,
but, I mean,
or military schools.
Let's say the woman and the fathers are cranking out kids. They keep cranking them out. I mean, let's say they're addicted to crack on top of that, or cocaine, or meth, or whatever. In other words, clearly these people should not be having kids, but they're continuing to do it anyways. I mean, you keep talking about fiscal responsibility. Yeah. I mean, my God.
Well, obviously they don't have them, Pat.
You guys are in a dilemma because obviously you don't. I mean,
no, I'm not in a dilemma.
You wouldn't go so far as to agree with Pat, though, would you, Doc?
Well, I believe that they're actually committing a felony crime of being cruel to children and putting children in child endangerment thing, to be having kids that you can't afford.
I agree.
You can't educate them, you can't feed them, you can't clothe them, you can't provide them safety. And especially if you're a crackhead, I think that these people should be put in jail. And if a woman's in a woman's facility and he's in a male facility, they can't have kids anymore. And if it's a felony and they're supposed to be in jail for 5 years or 10 years, whatever it is, and those kids should be cleaned up and put in school and given medical care.
That's
and you have to break the cycle.
That's
yeah.
an enormous responsibility.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, just one kid, raising one kid properly
is $1 million.
Enormous responsibility.
It's $1 million.
What if
you're talking
got,
about government if, control now, and I'm not sure that I would want to go there because you open that kind of a door. And it's bad.
Well, here's the problem, Kay. When a couple who are hooked on crack are having, say, 10 kids, And these kids are being raised in that environment to become criminals. Mm-hmm. And they're a tremendous burden on society by being thugs and criminals, murderers, rapists,
drug salespeople.
Well,
you just brought up that aspect of it. Mm-hmm. But
all of us in this conversation are not proponents of big government. On the other hand, what Pat is suggesting, if any of us go along with it, would make us a party
government.
Yeah, no matter what you do, government's got to get involved.
No easy answers.
Yeah. All right, well, thank you for bringing that up, Pat. Appreciate your call. Let's go to Andy in Las Vegas. Andy, you're on the Saturday special.
Well, top of the morning to you.
Hey there, Andrew.
Hi, Andy.
Hi, the internet is great. What a great thing to be able to listen to.
Oh, you're listening to this program on the internet.
On the internet, and to have two of our favorite people on talking about the subjects is just an absolute delight.
Well, who's the third who isn't the favorite?
I started to say the third, but you've been relatively silent.
Okay, all right.
Yeah. I know that's kind of new. Well, anyway, there were a lot of subjects, but I thought I would touch on the border thing because it's, like lots of us, it's near and dear. A lot of folks don't know that Dr. Wallach is a real astute historian. So, Doc, correct me if I'm wrong here, but the border used to be patrolled. During the Spanish-American War, Teddy Roosevelt had the first infantry, which was a horse infantry. And they patrolled the entire border from Mexico to the United States. I think it was like 2,100 miles long or something to that effect.
Yes, General Pershing.
Pershing, forgive me. And we didn't have the border problem. So when I listen to all these legislators and all these political activists tell us what a difficult feat this may be, sorry, but 100 years ago it was patrolled and we didn't have these issues. And it can, in fact, be done. It has been done, and relatively inexpensively. You know, we've got the means to do it, especially today with technology, my goodness.
Oh, yeah, listening devices, remote cameras. Absolutely, it can be patrolled, and they've done a good thing, Andy, with the blimps. They have stationary blimps up at 4,000 or 5,000 feet, and they can watch large segments of the border. Combined with listening devices and remote cameras and things, absolutely, the border can be controlled and patrolled. It's just that the fall down comes when they arrest the illegals sneaking in through the border. They just fingerprint them and then take them back to Mexico, and then the next day they cross again, and the next day you might not catch them. And so there has to be a bigger penalty for crossing into the United States illegally. That's where the problem lies. And they should be put in jail for a year for crossing into the border illegally.
Yeah, I wonder what would happen if an American went into Mexico illegally. What would happen? It'd be a pretty nasty scene.
Get put in Ocho, which is their name for jail. Because it's in Tijuana, it's on 8th Street, so they call it Ocho.
Uh-huh.
And if you get put into Ocho, you're in there for a long time, and you're going to have everything you own confiscated that you had there, like cars and things like that.
Yeah. Well, I'll hang up for this. There's lots more to say. A mild suggestion, Michael. Gosh, this would make a rather interesting, maybe a substitute program sometime for Dead Doctors Don't Lie. That lots of docs...
Well, I don't know. Dead Doctors Don't Lie as a health program, Andy.
I know
I've been
that.
After Doc Wallach for years, as well as my mother, to do a political radio program.
Yeah, I understand.
Maybe
it,
I could knock some. Maybe I could knock him in that direction.
Well, at least once, I think it'd be wonderful for folks that love Doc and because they don't know there's another side to him. He's got an incredible background, more so than just in health and nutrition.
Well, maybe he'll get the idea that he'd like to retire pretty soon, and then...
Well, with that, I will get off the phone so I can listen on the internet.
Okay.
Thank you, Andy.
Bye, guys. Uh-huh.
Thanks for calling.
Uh-huh, bye.
There goes Andrew.
Okay, my wife always asks when I'm retiring. I always say 10 years after I die.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
You don't even have to retire. You should just maybe do another... something else besides what you're doing right now.
You just don't know what's going on, Kay. Let me tell you,
there are
things happening.
Mm-hmm.
Very exciting things happening. You know, we'll have to come on the show, say, in 3 months' time and 6 months' time and 9 months' time. And we're going to fix the world, I think.
Okay. I want to go back to Pat. Issue about the concern about what to do when a couple on welfare keep having babies and we have to support them. shouldn't we look a little more closely now at the issue of welfare and what it is doing? For example, if things were like they were 50 years ago, where people had to take responsibility for themselves, and churches and synagogues and organizations helped out when people had to have help. A lot of people who are on welfare don't have to have help, and they're on welfare because it's easy to be on welfare. If we had a tighter system, maybe these people wouldn't be encouraged to have more babies if they knew they had to take care of them. What do you think about that?
Well, I think you're right, and I think the whole welfare problem developed when politicians realized they could buy votes by giving out welfare. And so this is why I say the people who are on welfare, it would stop that problem right in its tracks. If you're on welfare for longer than 90 days, that you can't vote. And people say, well, they've got the God-given right to vote. They're Americans. But when you look at judges, for instance, judges and policemen and politicians, by law, they have to recuse themselves. That means they have to not be able to vote or even debate on something that has to do with maybe a business that their family owns or something that has to do with them. And this, to me, is the same situation. If you're on welfare and you're getting a welfare check and you're going to be voting for politicians who control welfare, then you shouldn't be able to vote.
You know, it sounds good, but sadly, I really believe that a lot of people don't give a damn whether they vote or not. They're not even interested in government.
Well, then they have no excuse. They have no complaints if they don't vote.
They're being taken care of from the cradle to the grave. This is not good. And speaking of judges, I wanted to say something about judges at the beginning, too.
Here we come.
Lifetime appointed judges, they're making decisions which reflect their own political views. And this
makes
them
Gray Davis
out of the judicial system.
That's right. That's why Gray Davis is trying to appoint judges
impartial.
Before he leaves. Yeah.
And we don't have impartial judges anymore.
So wait a minute. So Gray Davis, yeah, I guess that's true. Before he leaves, he has the right to appoint judges who will remain in that position for
life.
Like Almquist. Mm-hmm. Here, he was just appointed a judge.
That asshole?
You said one of the seven words you can't say.
Oh, jeez, I can't believe it. By Gray Davis?
Yep.
Oh, my God. Yep. I'm sorry. I say what I... Yeah, well...
No, you can't.
It's not one of the seven words.
get to
oh, really?
Caller.
No. So you say that on Dead Doctors Don't Lie, Doctor. So
I can.
Better not. Better not wind up in Almquist's court.
Yeah, I know. Well,
I'll burn that bridge.
He was no friend of mine to begin with. You know that guy. I don't like that guy. He's anyhow. Let's go to our next caller, Millie. In where are you, Millie? You're on the air.
I'm here.
Okay.
Okay. I'm going to discuss the subject I mentioned, but before that, I don't want to discuss this one. I want to throw this out. Speaking of judges who are politically motivated by those who promote them, we had Reagan and we had Bush, one who appointed numerous judges who followed their lines, and that's all I want to say.
And that was wrong, too.
Yes, it's both wrong, but you don't really find neutral people. Now, regarding mandatory sterilization, this will be the wave of the future. There's no doubt of it, because the population is being inundated, and in many cases, as Dr. Wallach mentioned, the children of very dysfunctional parents end up in penitentiaries, or perpetuating the welfare rolls. And another thing about welfare, it's a myth that with each new child, the parent gets a lot more money.
Oh.
They don't. The original grant is given to the family with one child, and from then on, that's a house in order to maintain a household. And it's a pretty hefty grant.
Mm-hmm.
Then after that, with each new child, unfortunately, sort of a stipend amount is granted with more food stamps. Getting back to mandatory sterilization, there are so many cases of these fools, and I'm talking about the women, because they don't have a family situation in most cases. They'll have four or five. In the worst cases, the mothers are on hard drugs and produce terribly ill children who end up being wards of the state at any rate. Now, there was a case in the Central Valley about 5 years ago, where one of these mothers, who was a crack mother, was going on with her fifth or so, and she was ordered to have the patch. And I think both guests can explain what that is. But it's a type of patch which sterilizes the parent for 5 years. And it can be removed by a physician. Well, this person got rid of her patch because she had a civil rights attorney take it to court, and the judge ordered the patch removed. So okay. That's what happened 5 years ago. But I think with the inundation we have now of dysfunctional families plus the immigration problem, I think that this will be the wave of the future. If a person is totally unfit and is so out of it that she cannot control her human biology, her reproduction, then she should be forced to control it.
Well, there's another one for forced sterilization. Thank you, Millie. Appreciate your call to the KSCO Saturday Special, where it is now 27 minutes before 12 noon. If you want to give us a call, give us your questions or comments to our guests, Kay Zwirling or Dr. Joel Wallach, or myself, MZ. Our phone number is 479-1080 or 477-1340. I haven't given the fax number today. That is 475-2967. And speaking of faxes, this fax just in, and it's addressed to Kay. Dear Kay, you are my type. However, you should divulge the family's interest in health products in such a way as to promote your arguments against Senator Feinstein's bill. Otherwise, you run a risk of financial bias. And that's signed Ken Decker in Carmel, a loyal fan of KSCO.
I am not in the nutrition business, Ken.
Yeah.
I'm not. Michael is. But I'm not, and that has nothing to do with me. But I've always been interested in nutrition since I was in my 30s, and now I'm close to 100, but I only look like I'm 70.
What if I ask you for a date?
Okay.
All right. Let's
what would your wife say?
Well, I can have dinner with
if
a pretty
you,
lady.
If you bring Milan along, that would be fine.
Okay, back to the Saturday Special here. We have, let's see. Wait a minute. There's only two people on the telephone now. What happened to all the callers? 479-1080 and 477-1340. Let's go to line two. Margaret in Santa Cruz about durable power of attorney for health care.
Yes, but I'd like to make a comment about Pat and Millie, if I may, too, before
okay.
I go into that. Well, I don't think there's a need for mandatory sterilization because with all the sexually transmitted diseases and abortions that are going on that are rendering women infertile right now, and infertility is a huge business in the medical field right now also. So, don't worry. They're getting sterilized. It's coming around. And Austria is promoting $300 a month to any couples that will have a children. They have a lack of children to care for and provide for their society functioning. And there are more abortions in Russia than there are live births. And in China, there is 117 male babies being born to each one female baby. So, they're building their army.
Can that be true, Doc?
They're building their army.
Well, that's because they kill the female babies.
Yes, they kill the female baby. 117 men to one female. They're building their army.
Whoa.
Now, if we would have, as Pat wants us to do, prevent women who are unmarried with abusive men that keep getting them pregnant, well, hey, we wouldn't have to deal with Bill Clinton as a president, would have we? Right?
Say that again?
His mother, Bill Clinton, would not have to be we wouldn't have had to deal with Bill Clinton as a president.
Are you saying his mother was on welfare?
President.
Yeah, she was on welfare.
Yeah, she was. She was an alcoholic.
Abused, she was an alcoholic. She was all this. Now, on the other hand, Gerald Ford was adopted. Faith Hill, the country western singer, is adopted. Tim McGraw, the country western singer, is adopted.
What's the point?
Well, adoption is a you know, a nice thing. There is a 12-year waiting list for adoption in this country. So, and infertility is a big, huge medical business right now. Nobody can, you know, there's problems. Now, I believe, what is Pat doing to enrich just one child's life? I doubt nothing. Does Pat even give money to charity, 10%? I'll bet he doesn't. Now, I've worked in the tax industry, and I'm telling you, there are so few people that give to charity. So few people. Now, can I get on with the woman in Florida who's being starved to death?
Sure.
Well, I don't buy it because a husband and wife having a pillow talk pact. Oh, if I'm maimed and in a car accident, just let me die. You know, that's pillow talk. The pact that he's referring to has a $700,000 reward attached to it. That the core problem here was that the life insurance agent, although he did a dandy job of selling a $700,000 life benefit, he neglected to provide the vital attention to the area of durable power of attention for durable power of attorney for health care and marriage. Couples generally just don't sit down and either by themselves or with a professional to discuss the icky sticky of the death event and disability consequences and
okay,
retirement.
Okay, forgive me for doing this, but and I really shouldn't. But here's Population Pat back. Go ahead. Just okay.
No, I want to talk to him. Let me finish first.
Okay.
You know, when a crisis hits, what happens? The couple, they spiral down into the system. The system, I mean, as in chemical health, medicine, surgeon, doctors, insurance, traps, the court system. Now, you know, couples need to legally put their wishes and contracts in order with wills, estate plans, durable power of attorney for health care, with life insurance, child guardianship. I mean, a really good life insurance agent will urge these discussions among
people. People don't want to deal with those problems, Margaret.
They must. It's life. It's being adult, mature.
Okay, let me.
Attorneys
well, people aren't
it.
Mature. That's
attorneys.
The problem, and that's why we have so many things going on.
Attorneys.
Well, I want to ask you something, Margaret, about this insurance policy. I don't believe there are any insurance policies that would allow a person to get the money unless the person who's insured dies naturally.
No,
now,
that's
this
not
is
true.
Not
they
going
can,
to
no,
be
they
a
can,
natural
no,
death
it's not true.
If they
no.
if they pull the plug.
Doc,
no,
what do you know about that?
It's not true. You just have to provide a death certificate, basically.
Yeah,
and
I
in
think
a court.
Right.
Yeah,
is that
and
right?
Yes. You can even commit suicide and get insurance money.
I didn't know that.
Now, attorneys love it when families and life insurance agents don't take care of business. And so does the tax man. Okay, so they're not out there, you know, urging and advising people to do this because, listen, if you don't take care of your contracts as a marriage couple, take care of that guardianship for those children, then the court system gets it and attorneys make money.
Great. Margaret, you made your point. Go ahead, Pat. Real quick.
Yeah. Hey, Margaret, you say you wanted to know what I do for society?
No, I want to know what you do to enrich just one child's life, a neglected child, an abused child. What do you do, Pat, other than whatever? Okay, what do you do, Pat? Name something.
Well, I don't directly take care of children.
I figured as much.
I didn't
you don't like
children.
People. You hate
hey,
people.
You're full of it.
You have
you're
chronic.
Full of it.
Let him talk, Margaret.
Got such a cheap shot. Last Saturday. Is she off the air?
Yeah, she's off the air, but she's probably listening.
I don't blame her. She can't face the fact.
No, I hit the button. I'm sorry. I meant to pot her down, but I dropped the line.
Okay.
So it's my fault.
Okay. All right. But anyway, I mean, I spend a lot of time doing volunteer work, and if she wants to discuss that with me, I'm at 459-0429. So you can talk to me anytime you want to about it, Margaret. I won't take up precious airtime
okay,
here.
Okay, good.
I've already
nor should be a bad error. Then I have bad judgment. So thank you, Pat. It is. it's happened before. It won't be the first time I had bad judgment, you know. So 19 minutes before 12 noon, hour number two of the KSCO Saturday Special with Doc Wallach and MZ and KZ. And you guys, whoever you are out there wanting to call and stick in your two cents, let's go to Jan in San Lorenzo Valley judges. Jan in San Lorenzo Valley about judges. Go ahead, Jan.
Hi, I just wanted to alert everybody to the fact that now that Jeff Almquist has been made a judge, Gray Davis is going to appoint our new supervisor for the rest of his Almquist's term.
Yep.
Oh, and wow. In Santa Cruz County, yeah, they're pretty smart, huh?
Yeah.
That's why we have to get rid of this business of executive privilege for governors and the president.
Yeah.
It's wrong.
Yeah.
It's just wrong.
Also, I wanted to make a point about durable power of attorney.
Yes.
My mother was very, she wasn't very trusting, and so she didn't sign that and give that paper to my brother, one of my brothers who was the trustee. If she had, she would have died after she had her brainstem stroke because he wanted to get her out of the picture. What happened was another brother and myself fought and got that brother off the trust, and then we were able to communicate with her through her eyes. Up was yes and down was no. And through that, she was able, this was certified by a speech pathologist, too. And with that, she was able to communicate to her lawyer that she wanted to live. She didn't want anything turned off, and she wanted to go home and live out her life.
Oh, that's very moving.
So it's very, it's a tricky subject there, you know.
Yeah. Well,
you have to really, you know, you can't just go with the emotional thing of, oh, I don't want to be hooked up to any machines, because when it comes down to that decision,
no one said it wasn't a complex subject, for
right.
sure. Hey, thanks for calling the Saturday Special. We appreciate it. That was Jan in San Lorenzo Valley. To Marty, who sent in what looks like a very thoughtful fax here. I don't know what happened, Marty, but after about the first paragraph, it's obliterated, so we want to maybe it's my our fax machine here at the radio station, or yours, it's tantalizing enough facts for me to read whatever I can here. It says, Michael, I am in awe of your courage. You are like the one-man political talk show equivalent of Siegfried and Roy, bringing onto your show this morning a frothing, long-toothed monster with two right wings, capable blissfully of a lot of flapping but very little flight. And that's where I don't understand.
That sounds like a lefty.
Well, it's someone.
Well said, Kay.
It looks like Marty. It looks like Marty in Santa Cruz.
Yeah. Marty the lefty. Yeah.
Okay. And there's another fax here from it looked like Bill Cass, I think. So, Marty and Bill, please refax if you can. It's the Saturday Special. It's 16 minutes remaining in this program. We will take a commercial break. We do have Rory in Watsonville. He's been waiting a long time, and I promise Rory will get to you right after the break here on AM 1080 KSCO, the Saturday Special. Stay with us. Our phone lines are 479-1080 or 477-1340. Back after this break.
Hey, Michael O'Swirling, I wanted to let you know about a great event you should attend this Sunday from 1 to 5 p.m. at the Los Laureles Lodge in Carmel Valley.
Thank you, Jose, but I can't even think about taking the time.
Oh, Michael O'Swirling, is for a great cause.
Jose, now you know I'm a very busy and impotent man, and I can't afford to put any more of my valuable time into any more great causes.
Michael, it's all-you-can-eat buffet featuring all kinds of food and wild game, including venison and abalone. And that's to the benefit of the wild steelhead of the Carmel River.
Food? Did you say wild game? Well, I'm just going to have to cancel my other plans because I've done this before and it's great. In fact, you should go too, Hose. It's time well spent even for busy and impotent men like us.
Don't miss MZ's favorite eating event of the year, the Wild Game Barbecue, this Sunday from 1 to 5 p.m. at Los Laureles Lodge in Carmel Valley. For tickets and more information, call Brad at 659-1500. That's 659-1500.
Hi, this is Don Fredrickson from GotNet.
.NET specializes in business services. Whether you need a T1 or T3 or just a place to host your website, .NET has a solution to fit your needs. .NET offers server colocation and custom website development. We have e-commerce servers, streaming audio and video servers, and Cold Fusion and database servers available to handle your hosting needs. .NET understands that businesses rely on the Internet, and we work hard to assure fast, reliable service. Call .NET today at 460-2000. Food, shelter, clothing, net. .NET?
My name is D.O. Roberts, and I was a customer of Dr. Wallach's products before becoming a distributor in April of 1997 when he introduced American Longevity to the country. The products have helped me so much that I want to share my story with you. American Longevity products are 100% natural and are very easy to take. The famous Pig Pack is a must and certainly has helped thousands of people. Please give me a call so I can share my story with you and perhaps introduce you to great health through American Longevity. My phone number is 624-1025.
Windows are a way to see and a way to be seen. Hello, I'm Guy Mitchell from Lighthouse Windows in Santa Cruz. Lighthouse Windows installs doors and windows in homes and in new construction. We make a big difference in how you see and how you are seen. Listen.
My name is Alice Nicolaiason, and we're residents of Santa Cruz County. Took him one day to put the windows in. You'd never even know they were here. I love the looks of it. I like the grids in the front, and we decided just to have the plain windows in the rest of the house, but it really dressed up the front of the house. When the windows and the doors are shut, you don't get the outside noise. All the neighbors, when they'd walk by, they commented on the windows and in turn asked us who did it. We told them, and they have had some done themselves.
New windows and doors from Lighthouse Windows will keep your home warmer in the winter, cooler in the summer, and quieter all the time. So when it comes time for you to improve the way you see and the way you are seen, call on the window and door specialists at Lighthouse Windows in Santa Cruz, 426-2601, 426-2601.
Hello, this is Tom Quinn, the host of Perspectives Radio Show. Every Saturday at noon, we give you cutting-edge news about current events. We interview well-known experts on a variety of issues, so listen in this Saturday from noon to 1 to Perspectives. Thank you.
Twelve before 12 on AM 1080 KSCO, the Saturday special with MZ and Kay's Whirling and Dr. Joel Wallach. You got 12 minutes to call us at 479-1080 or 477-1340. If you want to participate in this program, we would love to hear from you. As promised before the break, let's bring Rory in Watsonville on the air. Rory, you're up.
Yes, on the euthanasia issue, a specific case, I want in Florida, Doc Wallach. What I've read, mostly on WorldNet Daily, that woman is not brain dead. She is communicating with her parents, and such as the case has gone through the courts, they haven't allowed her any kind of therapy to help her along, and she can swallow. And then what they've done is remove the feeding tube, so she's going to dehydrate and starve to death. And her parents want to take care of her, but her husband won't. And it's pretty complicated situation, but the courts and the two judges in particular, Greer and another one, and Lazara, I think, have not done anything to help her out, and Jeb Bush, the governor, has not stepped in when he could have, at least let the parents have a chance to present their case again and let her get some therapy, but they won't even let her get therapy, and they won't allow any cameras in. It's a pretty sad situation, because she wants to live, and she's not, you know, she's what is she, 39 years old?
Yes.
And it's just, it's tragic that it's happening. But there's such a disregard for life that unfortunately it just goes on and on and on. So, and may I, also one other thing, hats off to Doc Wallach and his years of tireless effort to get the word out on nutrition. It's done me a world of good with lower back pain that just has evaporated over time. So, Doc Wallach, thank you for that.
Hey, you're very welcome.
The other thing is, a lot earlier when Ben was on, you were talking about that strike in Southern California.
Yes.
The repercussions of bad governmental policy in California that promotes this kind of a strike.
Exactly.
Hurts all kinds of businesses down the line. I heard on Thursday that there's some, the business I'm associated with, there's contacts with the floral industry, And there's companies that are throwing away potted plants that they can't sell because they sell a lot through those grocery stores in Southern Cal, and they're ready to sell, and they can't sell them. It's come to a grinding halt, and so they're throwing stuff out and losing money. So these policies, bad policies at a governmental level, send shockwaves through the economy. And that's why hopefully Schwarzenegger, I didn't vote for him, but hopefully he'll have the guts to do what it takes to get the changes made and bring
about
standards.
Yeah, the tough part here is he's a Republican governor, and the legislature, the
right.
representatives
lefty.
In the assembly are all Democrat.
Yeah, well, they're lefty.
And they're leftists, and they're all Democrats, yeah.
Yeah, he's going to have to play hardball with them. He's got to go over their heads, go to the public.
Yep.
That's
the only possible hope is he'll go to the public and the public will force
him. I hope he works with McClintock, who I voted for, to initiate some of these changes with regards to workman's comp, which somebody told me recently it's going up another 200-300%.
Yes.
Anybody heard that?
Yep.
Yes, it's actually going up, and I'm an employer, and so I listen to that very well. And I can tell you what's going to happen is companies are going to cut their workforce by 50%.
Well, I have a friend that's paying 80 cents on the dollar in a roofing business in California. If he goes up 200-300%, he's going to be paying more in workman's comp than he is paying in the hourly wage.
Exactly right. Oh, yeah, the benefits at this point actually exceed the pay. And what happens here is as whether it's unions or government that force these things to happen, again, businesses close down. They'll just run across the border in another state. Businesses that can't do that, they'll cut their workforce in half and go more and more to computers. And then people will say, well, there's no more jobs. Well, that was all initiated by a poor government.
Yeah,
you're exactly right.
We need to slap down the sharky lawyers that are promoting these bad lawsuits that are driving up the cost. We all know what's happening, and there's got to be a way to do it. These guys need to be slapped down, literally and economically. So, but anyway, one other thing. Okay, you had a comment?
Yeah, I was going to say, I was going to add to the subject that because of NAFTA, a lot of companies have already left and gone over the border.
Yeah, no, they have, and they've gone, like you said, Nevada, Arizona, and just fled the state altogether. The other thing, you know, with regards to welfare, you know, we get into this question of forced sterilization. I think that's a bad idea because I don't want the government mandating anybody be sterilized.
Right.
But what I would do is just eliminate welfare. Just phase it out in a year. Phase it out and let people induce their own self-restraint based on the economics. And if some people can't make it and they live in squalor, so be it. That'll be a lesson to those coming up that, hey, I don't want to do that. Big Daddy government's not going to bail me out, and I've got to pay the price for my own stupidity. So be it. I mean, I've got a large family, and I don't depend on the government to make my way. And I'm just sick and tired of hearing about how tough it is for people on welfare. And, you know, they got a brain figured out. What
and
the heck?
Some of them have figured it out, and it's really been wonderful for them.
Yeah, it's liberating.
Some mothers without husbands. And had they were forced to go off welfare, and suddenly they're finding out that they have self-respect and dignity, and they're proud of themselves.
Sure, and they
something
can really
that couldn't
them.
Happen when they're on the dole.
Well,
that's right. And
we can actually nudge this along. We can just quickly, then you can say your other thing here. We can nudge this along again when people, whether they're on welfare or not, if they can't afford their babies, they need to be arrested and put in jail for cruelty to children, putting children at risk. And when you put people in jail for 5 years for doing that, people will think about having babies they can't afford.
Okay. Rory, thanks very much for your call to the Saturday special. Here comes Dave Allen, the Dave Allen. You're on, Dave.
Lord, help us. Gay Davis, why is this guy still lingering around like an old fart? I mean, seems to be he was fired.
He's not going to be around much longer.
Yeah, but what is this transitional period? There's no transition. He wasn't like unelected. He was fired. That means you pack your locker, hit your pink slip, hit the road.
I think they're still counting the votes, David. And he's dragging this out. And he's doing a lot of damage during this interim period.
During the interim, he should not be allowed to put one executive order into effect.
That's why we have to get rid of executive orders.
Yeah. Okay.
What I think.
That's good. Well, yeah. Who can disagree with that? Dave, how you doing?
Another day above ground.
Okay.
So, in any event, being my condition here, I've got like stroke centers and meetings and things, and I have seen people that were forced to go on welfare because of their illness, their problem.
Yeah.
Their workman's comp, the sacred workman's comp, ran out. And there are people that actually do need to get some kind of safety net that a civilized society should provide. After all, that's why you pay taxes all your life, and your family, and your parents, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
You know, I agree that people that are sitting around milking the system while they spread their legs on the side or, you know, tell dope should be cut off. But that system is there for a reason, just that it's allowed to be exploited by well-meaning, misled liberal type of people. They want to do everything for everybody with other people's money. Say. But I have witnessed people that needed the welfare. You know, they without that, they'd be living in a box somewhere while they were disabled, incapacitated by whatever, you know, things that have happened to them. So anyway, I just want to get my piece in about that.
Well, Dave, you should introduce them to, you know, what you're doing so that they have the opportunity to earn their way.
Hey, you know what? I tried, and the newspapers would not allow me to run an ad. Are you ready for that one?
Yeah, say that again, Dave.
The local papers, which are owned by most of my East Coast conglomerate, will not allow me or anybody to run an ad for this for a business.
For like the particular home,
they
rejected your wording, I think, right?
They rejected the whole idea. If you have to pay any kind of fee, sign up, front loading, whatever it is, they're going to protect us from ourselves. They would not allow us to talk together and flatly refuse anything to do with me or my ads. All they wanted to do was help people help themselves. They wouldn't do it. They wouldn't accept it.
Wow.
Isn't that something?
I'd cancel my subscription to them.
Yeah, topic for a whole program. Dave, thanks for calling.
And one more thing, ask Feinstein. Where's Oswald when we need him?
Yeah, okay. All right. Here, Lindy and Carmel on immigration. We only have about a minute, but you're on the Saturday special.
Okay, hi. This is Andy Martin, and I am an immigrant. I'm here in this country 50 years on Thanksgiving Day this year. And
are you the painter?
Yes, I'm the painter.
Okay, I remember you.
Congratulations.
Yeah, well, anyway, I wanted to just say that when I came to this country, it took 2.5 years for me to get a passport, medical examinations. I arrived with $4. I run a gallery today, and I'm a fairly successful artist. And I had to sign a paper that said that I will never go on welfare when I came here.
Well, those were different times.
Well, yeah, well, my wife had to do that too. We had to work 10 years to get her citizenship, and she's a surgeon and taught at Harvard. But because she's from China, it took us 10 years to get, with a lot of lawyers, to get her citizenship and get her passport. And she had to do the same thing. She can never go on welfare, which she wouldn't do it anyway. But and then these illegal immigrants come across the border, and as soon as they step foot on U.S. soil, they're on welfare.
Exactly.
Wow. Anyhow, thanks, Lindy, for your call. Doc, thank you for being with us today. It's been
thanks
a long time
me.
Since you've been on the Saturday special. Mm-hmm. Welcome back. Ma, it's great. This was actually Doc Wallach's idea a few months ago that you and and he should be on the Saturday special. I think it was an excellent idea.
Yeah.
So this program will be rebroadcast this evening between the hours of 10 p.m. and midnight. And if you get a good digital recording of it, you can get it on the Internet by clicking KSCO.com, Saturday special.
Oh,
so we'll see you all
like
later.
Would you like to say one more thing?
Quickly, we'll go into the news. Quick, real quick.
Okay. So I was a student at Cabrillo for in the 1960s, and there's one thing I'll always remember. At the end of the term, there was a chilling parting word from our political science professor. And this was in June 1967. And he said, I will leave you with a prediction. The prediction is that the United States will become a third world power.
Whoa. Okay. Well, with that, we will end it. Thank you all, and talk to you next time here.
Bye-bye.
That's all, folks. It's KSCO Santa Cruz, KOMY Watsonville. We join USA News in progress.